Amen. So, communion is not a ritual. It's not something, not just a religious stuff. But communion is when we celebrate being part of this amazing family. Say with me, amazing family.
Amazing family.
So wherever you go in the world, you can find part of it. You can take part in this family. If you go to China, not China now, China for a while, let them sort it out, okay? And if you go to,
it's Corona in China.
I don't know, Japan, very close. If you go to Japan, you can find a church. And when you come in, you must be part of their family. Because we are part of the great family of God. So that's the main point of the gospel, when we understand that wherever we go, we can take part in a family meeting. And I just want to talk to you this morning, as we are going to celebrate our communion. Today is the first Sunday of the month, is the day we celebrate communion. I want to talk to you about God's love. Say with me, God's love.
God's love.
So I want to talk to you about the great evidence of the wonder of God's love. I want to read for you 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Are you there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow on the screen. It's the same version, New King James Version. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Amen. Amen. So I was meditating this passage, friends, and I was amazed talking about God's love. Because God's love is something that brings a feel of life. There is no life without Jesus. Without Jesus, people just walk and breathe. But when we live by Jesus, we actually have a true life. Say with me, a true life.
A true life.
Life is not about just breathing and walking around and walking, working, paying the bills. But life is much more than this. Life is when we share life. Because you cannot share something that you don't have. Okay? We just share things that we already have. So when we have, when we are full of life, when we are full of love, when we are full of Jesus, then we can share Jesus. Then we can share love. Then we can share life. Friends, when we consider the love of God, We have to give to it the proper respect. Amen. Love by itself is already something precious. How many of you are pleased to be loved? You can be loved by your wife, your husband, your fiance, your daughter, your mom, you know, And it's amazing when we are loved by someone. We cannot live without this love. How precious is feeling loved and share love. However, when we mention the love of God, it becomes even more valuable and priceless. The Greek word for this kind of love, God's love for us, is agape. Say with me, agape.
Agape.
Agape means unconditional love. That's the love God loves us. That's the unconditional love. What does the word unconditional mean? That means if I love Him, He loves me. If I do not love Him, He still loves me. Because His love is unconditional. If I please him, he loves me. If I don't please him, he still loves me. Because this is unconditional love. The Bible speaks about three different loves in the Bible. And sometimes in the Greek, the Bible uses different words because there are three different kinds of love. There are, in the Greek, eros, say with me, eros. That talks about sexual attraction. This is a kind of love we must love inside of marriage. And this is not a sin, okay? The second love is phileo. Say with me, phileo.
Phileo.
Phileo is the double way love. As much as you love me, I love you. As much as you do things for me, I do for you. And we love each other. As soon as you stop serving me, as soon as you stop doing something to me, I stop doing something to you. This is kind of phileo. But agape is the love Jesus said you must love each other with this kind of love. Unconditional love. If people love you, love them. If people don't love you, still love them. This is very hard, friend. Easy to say, but very hard to practice. However, this is a perfect love that God is leading us to. What a privilege to be loved by God. Even before we knew him, he already loved us. Before you know Jesus, he was in love with you already. And he gave his life for you. Once we know him and we give our hearts to him, then we start to discover how deep and how powerful this love is toward us since the foundation of the world. Do you know when did Jesus start to love you? That was not in the cross. In the cross was the biggest expression that God died for us. That's why we celebrate communion, to remember that day that Jesus died for us. That was the biggest expression of God's love for us. However, the love of Jesus for us didn't start on the cross. It started when they made Adam and Eve. Amen? When God created, when I say God in the Old Testament, remember, it's in a plural word. When we say God in the Old Testament, remember, we are talking about God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit. Amen? So when they made Adam and Eve, they start to love them. They start to love them. And God so loved the world that he gave his... No, I'm not saying the word. God so loved the world that as soon as he made Adam and Eve, he knew right from the beginning that they will fail. And he prepared the plan B. And the plan B starts with C, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, that is the plan of God. God said in 2 Corinthians, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen? We are not despised by God. We are sons and daughters. Amen? Last Sunday, we sang that song with Nix. She was doing the worship. And she sang that song, Abba Father. Abba means, but Abba is not just father. Abba is a father in an intimate expression. It's like a daddy. Father. Abba means daddy. My father. He's not, you know, I love prayer prefix. Do you know prayer prefix? You know, some people, every time they pray, they have their own prefix. They say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Some people say, Heavenly Father, we come to you today. So I love this Heavenly Father, but at the same time, it means that God is already there in heaven and we are here on earth. He's a Heavenly Father, of course he is. But at the same time, through the Holy Spirit, He is my Abba Father. He's right here, very close to me. Very close to me. Very close to my feelings. Very close to my need. Very close to my understanding. Very close to everything that relates to me. So we must understand, friends, that God's plan is to be our Father since the beginning. But because of the sin in Adam and Eve, precisely, more accurate, let's say, in a particular order, since Eve and Adam, because Eve sinned first. Sorry, ladies. I will say this all the time. You sinned first. And you seduced Adam to sin. You know, as I normally say in the wedding celebration, man is the head of the house.
No problem.
And the wives, they are the neck that turned the head, whatever they want. Okay? So because Eve was the neck, she turned Adam's head in whatever she desired in that day. And they ate the fruit and they sinned. Since that time on, from that time on, we start to be born in sin. So now we departed. They departed us from God, from God's love. So that sense of fatherhood, that sense of childhood, we lost this because of the sin since Adam. But as I said to you, because God loved us since the beginning, and He knew they will fail, He prepared already the plan B. And the plan B, one more time, starts with the letter C, is Christ Jesus. When He came and He died for us, He connected back to God. And now, through Jesus Christ, we are not just creatures. We are sons and daughters.
Amen.
We are sons and daughters. Friends, when we understand this platform, this stage of being sons and daughters, we understand how fatherhood means. Because when we are fathers and mothers, we understand what the children need. And before they ask for something, we already have it prepared for them. So let's understand a little bit of it. I want to give you three amazing principles from this passage we just read in 1 John. Okay? Number one, there are some implications to be included into this wonderful plan. Say with me, wonderful plan.
Wonderful plan.
And what is the wonderful plan? To bring back from sin and to be reconnected back to God. So because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we became just creatures of God, not sons and daughters. But in Jesus Christ, we became again child. We became again sons and daughters. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So these three amazing principles I want to share with you this morning. Number one, the first step is to recognize Him as a Lord and Savior. We must recognize, if you want to take part in this plan of reconciliation, of redemption, of your original position. Our original position in God is to be sons and daughters. Okay? So when we recognize that Lord Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then we become sons and daughters again. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Amen?
Amen.
Coming to church is not enough. You must recognize that Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Number two, once we have Jesus, our lives have a new statement. Say with me, a new statement. Joe, it's nice to see you back. And I want you to prophesy, there is a new statement about your life. It's starting right. right now, today.
Amen.
Amen. There's a new statement upon each one of us in this place. Galatians 4:7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave. Can't you laugh? Because do you know what being slave means? It's working hard without salary. It's doing whatever somebody else wants, not what you want. So could you tell somebody right now, are you not happy because you can say, I'm not a slave anymore? Touch somebody and say, you are not a slave anymore. You are not a slave anymore. Because under the old statement, please pay attention to it. Under when you were under the old statement, you had to do what devil told you to do. Using drugs, robbing, lying. You were involved with so many stuff. Wrong stuff, by the way. Because in that time, you had no option. You were slave. But once Jesus came to our lives, from that time on, we can say, I'm not a slave anymore. I'm no longer a slave. I don't need to do anything devil asked me to do. Because from now on, I am free. I am free. What does the Bible say? Galatians 4:7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son.
Amen.
And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
Wow. What a fantastic day, the day you met Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
What a fantastic experience being taken from an old statement that put you down to serve your body, to serve your flesh, to serve devil and his lustful desires. And now you have been brought into the light. Now, by the love of God, you have a new statement. Say it once again, new statement.
New statement.
And the new statement is, you are free.
Amen.
You are free. You are free. And the last one, living by this great evidence guarantees that we are no longer under condemnation.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen?
You are not under condemnation. Paul, there is no condemnation for you. Joe, there is no, another Joe now. There is no condemnation for you anymore. Jeff, there is no condemnation. Are you happy for that, Jeff? There is no condemnation upon your life anymore.
Amen.
What a great day Jesus saved us. Because there is no condemnation for us anymore. His blood was washed out our sins away, and we are free. All the Adam and Eve's nature has been taken from us, and Jesus' nature has put inside of us, and now we live for him. That's why we want to learn more about him. That's why we should learn about the Bible. That's why we need to know him more, because he saved us. He took us from the old statement and he put the new statement upon us. There is no condemnation upon your life. Amen. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. I am free. Are you free?
Amen.
Let us say it together. I am free.
I am free.
So Christ has truly set us free. Now, look at what the Bible says. Paul said, now make sure. I love it. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So once we are free, Paul says, be careful. Watch yourself not to get the old statement upon your life anymore. Once Jesus made you free, you cannot come back in the old life you had in the past. Once Jesus made you free, there is a new statement, there is a new season in your life. There is a new time for you. And don't come back to your old life. Have you ever been, you have thrown something in the bin, okay? Some document or something that you thought, I don't need this anymore. You just put it, tore it and put it in the bin. 3 days later, you said, wow, I think I'm going to need that paper again. And you go into the bin and you start to find something you put there. Some people, they do the same way with their sins. They put in the bin, 3 days later, they say, well, where was it? Wasn't too bad, actually. Let me recommend something. Once you put something in the bin, put the bin in the bin. Amen? When that yellow truck passed by your house, give them everything, even the container. Take everything, not to be tempted to go back and try to find something that I already thrown in that place. Once you are free, Paul says, make sure that you stay free. Could you tell somebody, you are free,
you are free.
But stay free.
Stay free.
Stay free.
Stay
free.
Stay free.
Stay free.
Amen?
So that's the message for you today. God's love. And this is the expression we have for God's love. Every time we celebrate communion is the time we celebrate Jesus. And that one day he died for us. He suffered for us in order to give us life, to give us a new statement. Amen. A new statement has been prepared for you. And the new statement says, you are no longer a slave. You are now free. You are now